I'm excited to be here this morning. And I do want to honor our pastor in his absence and his lovely wife, Chanita. Come on, put your hands together. Let's honor them. Amen. I don't take it lightly to be able to stand up here and share a word of the Lord with you in his stead. Those are some pretty big shoes to fill. Amen. Amen. But I am excited to be back because I've always considered this church as family. Before I even came and joined and become a part of the church, I came down a few times and I had a chance to, you know, the opportunity to preach. And I always took it very seriously. Even as now, before I even come out here, I took some time to just meditate, to study, and to ask God, what would you have me to say? How would you have me to say it? And the spirit in which you want me to say it. So these are the things that I go through to prepare myself in order to be able to serve you. Amen. Amen. So before we get ready to talk about what I want to speak to today, let's kind of review what Pastor talked about with us last week. Last week, he talked to us about what? Authentic community. He talked about the church being much more than the four walls that we're in, much more than the building that we look at sometimes as the building on the other side of town that we are go to depending on how late or how early we get off from work. Right? But he talked about it being us to being a part of an important part, a community of faith, where we can have experience love, encouragement, and support. The weekly challenge issued last week was to commit to joining a what? Catalyst team and a class. So a place you can know and be known, a place where you can love and be loved, a place where you can serve and be served. Okay, the last thing that Pastor talked about last week that he said he wanted church to be known as a family. And that is the reason I'm here today to talk to you about what we can do as a family, and that is worship. It's good to come together a lot of times and where we can just meet and fellowship or just eat, but when we can get together and worship, the atmosphere begins to change. There is something about the spirit of worship, the atmosphere, the attitude of worship. When I come inside the building with a praise already in my belly, that when I unite with you and you unite with me and we look to the God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think, it is something that takes place in the atmosphere. Things that we don't have to ask. You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles if you have or put it up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. 24 and 25. Our thought for today is that you and I are created to worship. That is your takeaway. You and I are wired for worship. That is our takeaway for the day. We say this a lot of time. A family that prays together, what? But a family that worships together becomes devoted to serving together. Do you see that? A family that prays together, yeah, we stay together. But a family that enters into worship together, they become devoted to serving together. Whatever that service may be, you become devoted to it. So church is more than just the building you go to depending on how late or how early you get off from work. Hebrews 10 and 24 and 25 says this. They have it on the screen for you. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of what? And let us not neglect our, as some people do. Let me just pause right there because, see, a lot of times when I read the word, I just can't gloss over that because, to me, there's a lot of meat right here in just this little section. He says, and let us not neglect our meeting together. The Greek word there for that phrase is episunagogin. Epi meaning in or upon. Sunagogin is where we get the English word synagogue. So he says, let us not neglect meeting in the synagogue or today the church. Let us not neglect that. He says that is very important. And then he makes this statement, as some people do. Now, Paul is giving us some inside information, or the writer of Paul's, depending on your theology. Well, he's giving us some inside information to the time of what was going on then. He says, let us not neglect meeting together in the synagogue as some people do, meaning that people were skipping out on church back then too. Do you see that? He said, as some people do, meaning that that was an issue. It's not a today's issue, but it's a back in the day issue. You see that? But he says, but encourage one another. How many times you come to church and you leave not being encouraged? Not from the pastor, but I'm talking about from one another. Because we expect to be encouraged from the pastor. But how about being encouraged from one another? When we just take the time, when I know we're busy and we're trying to get to the restaurant because we done called and reserved our spot, but just take that extra 5 minutes and just stand there and talk and listen to somebody else's problem. Problems become heavy, you know. See, this is the thing I always say, you know, there's a passage in the Bible when he was using he was telling a parable, and he says that, you know, God wanted to cut down the tree. And there was the gardener that says, let it alone for a little season and let me dung around it. Y'all know what dung is, right? Mess. I'll just say that, right? He said, and let me put some mess around the tree. And then he says, and if it don't grow after that, then you can cut it down. And you see, when you got a lot of mess in your life, people don't like to come around because mess has a scent to it. You wonder why you find yourself by yourself? Who likes to be around? Do you follow me? But here's the important thing that I need you to realize about mess. Mess is what we use to fertilize your food. And so even though it's mess around you and people get away from around you, I think God is just ingenious the way he puts scent to it. Because when he wants you to grow, he don't need everybody messing with you. That's just important to me. I think it's amazing. So he put the scent to it to get you to scatter. But the same thing that you can't stand is the same thing that causes you to grow. Look at God. You see that? And so he says, encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The day referring to the return of Christ. The return of Christ. I love Paul because when you start looking for his glorious return, it changes the atmosphere, changes the attitude in which you do everyday life. Because a lot of times, you know, I go to a lot of churches, people talk about prosperity, and they talk about the things we can have in God, which is great. I have nothing against it. I love it. I want some things too. I want some stuff. But he said to be looking for his what? His return, his glorious appearance. And so if you live our life looking for his glorious appearance, it changed the way you hoard physical stuff. Right? Because you know that's not important. The day you lay down, you may not get up. Your rapture may be that you don't breathe in the morning. You don't wake up breathing. You may not leave with the rapture. I know we all hope so, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That seems like we get to skip some stuff, man. They have to go through that dead stuff, you know. You know, if I'm just changed in the twinkling of an eye, you know, I'm already all right. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I'm like, I'll be glad when the rapture come. Because, see, I don't want to go to my funeral. Y'all understand that? I want to skip that. You know, I'm like Elijah, let the chariots of fire come, you know. But how about everybody don't get to see that? Everybody's not going to get to see that. So we say this. Episunagogen, in synagogue. Let us not neglect meeting together in where? Today's terminology would be the what? Let us not forsake. Now, when I was in the military, I was in the Navy. When I was in the Navy, I was on an aircraft carrier, CV-66 USS America. And, you know, this was all during Desert Storm and all this wartime and everything going on. But it's something about when you're in conflict or when you're in war that it forges perspective and it forges a common purpose. Now, I want you to understand that today you are in the army of the Lord. And if we're battling the enemy together, it should be something in that forges a common purpose, a common ideology that increases bonds. It increases your personal capabilities, because when you're in war, you're dependent on the person standing next to you to be able to fulfill their obligations while you fulfill yours. So you don't have to walk hand in hand holding everybody. A lot of church, I'm not going to say this church, but you've seen it in churches where there's only a few strong. And if anything breaks loose, the church will fall apart because there's only a few strong. But we're a group of what? Leaders. A group of what? Like believers. We've all been given the call of reconciliation. reconciling people back to Christ. That's just not the preacher's job. That's every believer's job. Right? And so if we're all strong, how strong then is the church? Worship allows us to become compassionate about each other's need. Only in worship the heart of God is revealed. We are wired for worship. Go with me to Revelation chapter 4. Chapter 9. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. Got it on the screen. I got on glasses and I still can't see. I'm glad I put it on this paper. Let me read off my paper. Now look what he says here in Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. He says, whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay down their crowns before the throne and they say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor. For you did what? And they exist why? You created what you please. Now, here we have a picture in heaven of people giving worship. Now, a lot of times when we think about worship, we always see ourselves far as in like praise and worship or the lifting up the hands and just, you know, relaxing and enjoying the music and worshiping God through just words like that. But in order for us to fully understand what worship is, there's actually two meanings for the word worship. One of them I think that most people are familiar with, and that is the one where we give obeisance or the bowing of the knee as in the kissing of the ground. But the other word for worship is to hire someone who has been acceptable or equipped to do it. When I say that we are wired for worship, I'm letting you know that from the beginning, when he says in the beginning was the word, and the word was, and the word was, all things were with him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the life of what? Men. Oh, he says, from the beginning of time, God has already put in you, wired in you, created in you everything that you would ever need to worship. So when he calls you to do or give your reasonable service, he's not asking you to do something outside of what you are capable to do. Do y'all follow me so far? So one of the meanings of worship means to give obeisance. The other meaning of the word is acceptable service because somebody is specifically qualified or equipped. Wow. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself that way? I know you see. You got to see it. When you see yourself as being specifically qualified to give worship, it changes the way you worship. If you come to church and worship because the neighbor next to you lifting a hand, then that's not worship. That's letting me blend in so nobody see me. But when real worship comes out of you, I don't care who's lifting a hand or who's not lifting a hand. I don't care whose eyes open or whose eyes closed. You begin to talk to God because, see, worship is just more than song, right? Worship is an expression of words and prayer and attitude and body language. Father, we thank you, God. We glorify you. There is no one like you. And then you may be feeling bad about yourself and you may say, God, I want you to watch those that are plotted against me, who hate me because I love you. And then you start telling God, take away the expectation of those that hate you because I glorify you and God, I love you. God's sitting on his throne. He just can't sit there because his words say he abides in the praises of. And so when worship goes up, what happens? It comes down. And so when you begin to worship him, you begin to serenade the God who sits upon the throne. He begins to get up and he begins to dispatch angels. Go check that out. Get ready to take care of that. That's all he does. That's all he does. That's the kind of God we serve. Let's look at another place here over in Revelations. Revelations 7. Yeah, she got it. Y'all read the screen. I'm going to read the paper. And it says, starting in verse 9. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, keep going. Next verse. Stop right there. Look at that. Well, here we have another scene, because over in chapter 4, we saw a scene similar to this, where the inhabitants of heaven are standing around the throne worshiping God. And so 3 chapters later, we see another worship scene going on in heaven. You know, I got to be honest with you now, because I used to think like, you know, when I get saved, you know, we're going to go to heaven. All I'm going to do is just standing, you know, around the throne. I ain't going to get to go nowhere. I mean, I want to fly through space. I want to go check out Jupiter and Mars, you know. Let me go just hang around. All we're going to do is stand before God. But this is before I understood worship. Because when you get the mind of Christ on the inside of you, then your will becomes, your desires become. This is what I need you to understand, because he said, I give you the desires of your heart, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot trick him, so you can't desire anything outside of his will and expect to get it. You got to keep it all in context, because you can ask what you want, but when your will has become one with his, then the thing that you ask for is something he already wants to give you. So you don't find yourself asking for stuff that you know you can't get. I want a big house so my neighbor can see that my house is bigger than theirs. I want a new car so that they can see that my car is, you know, fancier than theirs. Y'all see that? It doesn't work that way. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but your heart will be in tune with his heart. Your will will be in tune with his will. And verse, the last part of verse 12, he says, they sang and amen, blessings and glory and amen and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belongs to our God forever and ever. Amen. I mean, you ought to be able to just feel the worship coming out of that. That when you see the awesomeness of God, I think about where God has brought me from, the things that he has saved me from. I just have to get in the corner sometimes and say, God, if it had not been for the Lord. You know, not because, as the minister said this morning, not because you was perfect, not because of any of your good works. No, but because God did what he did. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I was listening to him talk and I was saying, they all in the message. They all in the mess. The wife, when she got up here and she started praying, she's talking about, we got to worship God. I wanted to throw the microphone at her. But I didn't. Because you know we don't act like that here. But you see how the Spirit works? You'll be up all night tossing and turning about what to give. And then when you come to church, confirm your word. Nobody has to come to you like a prophet. Thus saith the Lord, that the word that thou is going to speak has been sent from. No, you'll just hear people in general conversation. They just talking and passing. That's when you got to learn when God starts talking to you. If you're always looking for God to come straight up to you and say, thus saith the Lord God, you're going to have a long, empty, boring life. Yeah, we see people from everywhere. In every language, they are praising God because he saved them. And the angels are chiming in that part from, apart from what God has done, God is all by himself. I love to say, this is one of my favorite phrases, that God has never needed anything. He is sufficient in himself. He stands all by himself, needing nothing, but yet loved us enough to stoop down in clay which he created and made us. The very thing that you and I walk over and consider worthless, dirt, God created you and I from. He is bad. He is bad. He takes nothing and makes something very great that even the angels have to be subject to. Woo. That's the kind of God we serve. That's not on the notes, so if y'all are trying to follow me, I know it's not on the notes. That's coming straight from him. Amen. Amen. Now, another passage. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. While y'all turn, I'm going to get some water. This is work. Making me sweat. Y'all pulling out of me. Ephesians 11. Look what he says. Chapter 1, verse 11. It says, furthermore, because we are united in or with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Y'all heard that this morning, didn't you? Uh-huh. For he chose us where? I got to pause right here again. He chose us where? This is before you did anything good or bad. He chose you in at. Man, look at here. You know how you go to pick up something and you get ready to pay for it and says, no, it's already been paid for in advance. That's nothing like giving. Look at, God has paid the price for your life in. For he was slain before the fountain. Yeah, he came into time just to carry out what he did already before time. Woo, look at that. He chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his. All things work together for the good of them that are the called. Right? We say that, don't we? You see it right here? He makes everything work out according to his what? Whose plan? Not your plan. His plan. God's purpose was that we, the Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. When people ready to say, he's talking about the Jews. But listen, when you come into Christ, then you are a born-again Jew. That don't mean get in these crazy religions now. Go, you know, talking about you, Jewish Israelite and all this. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. That's Wednesday night classes. We can talk about the differences. Amen. Do y'all seen that shameless plug? FBI. I'm sorry. So let me get back to it. So when I talk about we're being wired for worship, I am referring to the infrastructure, how you are put together. You know, when a house is wired a certain way, it works a certain way. So there's only certain things you can do within the house because it has been wired to do that. I'm not talking about a learned behavior, although we can come together and commune together and we can look at each other and see different ways or different techniques that we use to worship God. But inside of you, your infrastructure, the way you were put together, you have been wired, designed, created that worship should flow from you as easily as water comes from a fountain. It should come out of you just like that. If you have to force worship, something's wrong. Check the heart. Check the heart. Is there any unforgiveness, resentment, anger? Because it's hard for me to preach to you and I'm mad with my wife. I want to stand. God is good, but get on my nerve. It'll come all out in the message. You'll be preaching, talking about God is good. But listen here, women, y'all got to understand. Y'all need to be obedient to y'all husbands. It comes all out in the message, and everybody in there like, what? What was that? Where did he come from? I mean, what did he say that? Oh, he just embarrassed his wife. Right? Have you ever been in the services like that? You've seen some stuff like that? Because you're angry. You're resentful, you're mad, but when you come in with a pure heart, and you may have that issue, but when you come in, you say, God, I love you. And Lord, I'm angry with my wife, but God, correct my heart. that I may speak to your people even as you would speak to him. God, the way I would think. God, what would come out of my mouth so I don't shame you. See, it changes everything, because when you go in it, it may hurt. Because some, you know, praying for those that despitefully use you, that thing painful. You know, I said this last time, I'll be saying, get them, God. Get them. But he had to work on me. You know, y'all say, God, get them, and then want to come back and say, pray, and then pray for them. Get them first, and then bless them. Right? Yeah. That used to be my attitude. I'd be like, get them, God. You know, and then bless them. Yeah. You know, that's our attitude. Some y'all might not want to admit it. I'm just real, you know. I tell God quick, if I'm mad, I'm mad. But it changes. I know when I go to God, it changes, because I can't go to God with fluff. I can't go to God with fake prayers. I can't go to God with fake holiness. I can't go to God with this fake reverence of, you know, I'm in church and I'm super this and I'm that. I realize that I'm nothing without him. And when you realize that you're nothing without him, worship automatically begins to spring up on your inside. Where you just want to tell God how good he is. You get lost for words and you just begin to just moan sometimes because you don't know what to say. You don't know what to say. I be like that a lot in the room when I'm by myself. You know, my wife is over in Texas with our daughter, and she's helping up with the grandkids while she finished school. But I'm over here, and I'm like, Lord, you got to keep me. I miss my baby. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, in April, it'll be 17 years. Okay, so he said the two have become what? One flesh, and I feel like half of me's not here. And I'm like, Lord, I need you. In the morning, hey, I need you. In the noonday. Oh, but we're not that kind of church. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. Y'all with me? I had somebody about to go with me, though. What? Yeah. You about to go with me. Started. Oh, you know, y'all know. The reason we exist is for the praise of his glory. All praise be to the glory of Christ. In the Bible's opening chapters over in Genesis, he says, in the beginning, in the class, you've learned that word is ex nihilo, which is the creation formula. In the beginning, God said, and everything he said came into being. So we see that right here in the beginning. He says, all things that he made was good. And not did he didn't stop there. He stepped back and said, nah, it's very good. Wow. When God is giving you that type of compliment, you don't take it lightly. You shouldn't take it lightly. When God said it is good, and everything that he created is not only good, but it's very good. And if he created you to be very good, or he said to you that you are very good, why is it hard sometimes for us to enter into worship that we depend on true north to lead us into it? We should beat true north into it. I'm talking about they should get up here with the mics and try to catch up with us. Because we are already out there engaged in worship. And watch this. I say this all the time. If you got one small fire, it don't take but a little small fire to make one big fire. If we start a fire there, they get ignited. And once they get ignited, guess what happens? The angels in heaven begin to join in the choir down here, and they begin to stand next to you out there in the sanctuary, and we're all praising, recreating the scene we saw in Revelation 4 and Revelation 7. So now we're here on earth. This is what we have in heaven here on earth, because we came in ready to worship, ready to serve God. Our hearts yielded. And being worship does not mean that there's nothing wrong in your life. It means being ready and willing to give God the due service and respect and honor he deserves despite. And when you begin to do it like that, God begins to move obstacles out of your way. But I love him. I love him because he's still kind, because sometimes we do hurt. Sometimes we go through pain and we've prayed and we've fasted. But God says that he takes all your tears and he stores them in a bottle. The kind of God that says not one tear that falls from your face will go unnoticed. I've seen it. It bothers me. We know that Jesus was a man moved by compassion, because we see that when Lazarus died, the Bible says, and Jesus, chapter 4 of Matthew, when he's beginning, after he comes back after being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, he says that he was moved with compassion and he healed the people. Compassion starts when you're in worship. Compassion begins when you're in worship. Our eye ports and our ear ports and our brain absorbs a whole lot of things, causing us to view God, people, and the world around us with distorted lenses. You start praising God based on what you heard somebody else say. You start worshiping God based on how you saw somebody else worship. Worship takes place at home in the kitchen while you're cooking. Worship takes place on the drive from the house to work. Worship takes place when you're in the bathroom, you're getting in the shower, or you're doing other stuff. Worship takes place when you're outside with the weed eater and you're cleaning up the yard. Because, see, when genuine worship takes place, like Daniel, he danced all outside of his clothes, but it was while he was out there tending the sheep that he learned to worship God. And so when he came in front of a whole lot of people, they was like, oh, that man, they'll be worshiping God. No, you're seeing something done in private, now done in public. It started at home. And so when it's real at home, when we come together, you can't contain your worship. It starts oozing out of you. Oh, amen. Ow! A shout there. A stomp here. A clap of the hand there. And then if everybody, watch this now, if everybody had a worship like that, soon as it started oozing out, somebody said, well, they letting their worship show, and this one over here, then everybody just break out into worship. Then Pastor Steve can't preach. Anybody who was assigned to preach can't preach. Everybody on their face worshiping God and thanking God for just bringing them through. That's when church is easy. That's when everybody get up and like, oh, church was just great. Man, what you talk about? Nothing. I don't have to say nothing. He is the ultimate teacher. You know, Christ is the ultimate teacher. You, how you gonna top that? After we get up and be like, amen, but before we go, you know, I got like 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes. I want to share something with you. No. Let's call it done. Let's take an offering. Set the baskets by the door. You know, when you leave, drop something in. If you want to stay and pray, stay and pray. I love it when it's like that. I'm praying for when 9 o'clock service just spills right on over into 11 o'clock. Because the worship wouldn't stop. Nobody would leave. And so when people walk in, everybody down on their face, they go, hey, man, hey, what's going on in there? They start peeping like, man, they've been like that since 8 o'clock. They've been on their face and worshiping God since 8 o'clock. And people, they walking through and they got illnesses. And when they walk through the door, people are getting to throw down their canes. And they go, oh, wait a minute. I can breathe. Oh, I'm feeling better. My sight's back. I can hear. I can walk. It takes place in worship. We are wired for worship. The church is the answer. It is the place where truth is taught, where you can come and learn about your God and my God. Isn't that wonderful? That we have a place, the church, the ecclesia, where we get the word Ecclesiastes, the called out ones. That's what it means. You have been called out of the world into everlasting life. You follow what I'm saying? Many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation goes out to everybody on the football team. You got maybe 44 to 66 players, but only 11 start. Many are on the team, but only a few are chosen to start. Right? I tell people all the time, I wish I was on the basketball team. I don't have to shoot. I get you Kool-Aid. I get you your Gatorade. You know, I don't care. Just being on the team is enough for me. I don't have to be the superstar. You can pay. You don't have to pay me $50 million. You can pay me $1.2 million, and all I'm doing is giving you Gatorade. I'm fine. I'm talking about as soon as you come off the court, I'm like, you know, what do you need? You want red Kool-Aid? You want some red Gatorade, the green, the blue, the red, the white? You know, I'm mixing it up. I got the powder in my back pocket pointed. Yeah, you don't have to move. Right? Why do we don't have this attitude in church? We come in, I want to be top deacon. I want to be the main minister. Oh, my word got to be better than the word I heard last week. Rather than praying for the person that was delivering the word so that you can be edified by the word. Yeah, that thing there. Instead of saying, oh, just let me be on the team. I'm glad I ain't got to preach because, see, that's a hard job. When you come up here and stand before God's people and rendering a word on his behalf, because then you are actually speaking as an oracle of God, one that is speaking the words directly from God. And if you speak that which is a lie, then you are responsible. That's why it's so important for me. I'm telling you, I get nervous every time I got to speak to you guys. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, help me say the right thing, the right time, because these are your people. I have to handle you the way he would handle you. With love, and he's tender. He's kind to us. So when he comes, he comes with a word that's going to uplift you, encourage you, right? And watch this, and train you and fortify you against the troubles that will come. Because they're coming. They are coming. Go ahead and put up Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I don't know how much time I got left. Got 5 minutes. I got to find me a closing point, y'all. Man, I'm glad I cut the thing down from 8 pages. Woo. And this is 5, and we on page 3. So we're going to have to find a stopping point, all right? What's the takeaway for today? You are what? Yeah, see, that's the takeaway. We don't finish, keep the takeaway. Woo! Whoa! Take my glasses off on that one. Romans 12. I'm going to put my glasses back on. Romans 12 and 1. And he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has what? Let them be a and the kind he will find acceptable. This is the way to what? The way to show obeisance to him. It is the same as the bowing of the knee as in to kiss the ground. This is the way we reverence him. Look what he says. By doing what again? And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Because of what? Let them be a living and the kind he will find. This is the way you worship him. That word there, to this is the way, right there, that phrase, that's also another Greek terminology, logikon, which where we get the word reasonable, or in King James it said, this is your reasonable service. That's where we get logikon, or we get the English word logic or logical. This is the logical way to service him or worship him. How? by letting your body become a living. You see this? God says, for you logical people, if you like to think about it a lot, if you come to class, that's deism, but that's on Wednesday. I did it again. That's the next 12 weeks. It's closed now. Right? We pat out. Okay. But anyway, he says, let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind of who will find. Who is the he? God. Not somebody in here like, I saw you praising God today. Look like you was all in it. You ever do that? You ever have somebody come to you? Mm-hmm. And then you start putting on shows. I'm not saying you. But people, me. Mm-hmm. When I first started, you know, people just say, oh, you're the dancing usher. Because, see, I started ushering first, you know, ushering out in the parking lot. You know, parking cars, cleaning bathrooms, and then start being over security. So, you know, I didn't wake up and God told me to preach and I was in the pulpit. No, it took me 15 years. 14. I added one because I've been gone a minute. 14 years. But Paul, after he was converted, went again to Arabia and didn't return again to after 14 years. Whoa. Went to go study, go be taught, go learn about this thing that you're getting ready to profess. Y'all see that? I just threw that out there. That's something else. Paul is saying, in view of all that God is and everything that God has done for you, your logical response is to worship him. And the way you worship him is to present your body as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. And as I get ready to close, because I'm pretty sure that my time is up and I just can't finish. I'm so sorry. I wanted to. I want you to remember that worship is not a noun. Worship is a, some of you probably know what I say. Is a hound? I said noun. I'm a country boy now, so I can get some words mixed up where I can confuse them. I can be about that. Threw somebody just then, right? But worship is not a noun. Worship is a. So it is not a person, place, or thing. It is something that you remember that. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and give the Lord a hand and clap of praise.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad you listened to the last message, and I hope it blessed your life. Listen, we would enjoy if you came out and participated with us every Sunday morning at 1335 Marshall Drive. We have services at 9 o'clock and 11, child care. It's awesome. Kids will love it. And if you can't make it on Sunday alone or you like to make it on another night, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have Bible Encounter, in which we actually go into the Word and you can ask questions and begin to grow as your family. Hey, I just want you to know we're so glad that you're tuning in and learning and growing. And as we always say here at Frontier Church, pursue purpose. We believe God's got some great things for you. Take care.